mercy. And peace be yours this day from God our Father and from our risen and our living Savior Jesus. Amen. Well, good morning, St. Luke's. And welcome to each and every one of you. If you're in town for the baptism or kindergarten families, I'm glad we get to be here together today. I'm Pastor Dan, and this morning we're kicking off a new series. Also, by the way, thanks for making here all youth retreat survivors. I see you've got a trophy in the front row. Yeah, there you go. That's kind of bold, isn't it? Goodness. All right, well, we're going to walk together in humility and love for one another. And this morning, we're kicking off a six-week teaching series looking at our identity according to Paul's letter to the Galatians. When I was in college, I took a class one time on Lewis Carroll, who wrote Alice in Wonderland. I took a whole semester on Lewis and Carroll. It was awesome. And in Lewis Carroll's Alice in Wonderland, Alice stumbles down the rabbit hole, and she ends up in Wonderland, and she gets caught up in all kinds of misadventures, and, you know, she's got the eat me and the drink me, and everything's changing, and she's following that white rabbit, and she meets a mouse and a dodo and various other creatures until she runs into the caterpillar. I remember I saw the movie before I read the book, but as a kid, I remember that scene with the caterpillar. That one stands out to me. The caterpillar and Alice looked at each other, writes Lewis Carroll, for some time in silence. At last, the caterpillar took the hookah out of its mouth and addressed her in a languid, sleepy voice. "Who are you?" said the caterpillar. This was not an encouraging opening for a conversation. Alice replied rather shyly, I hardly know, sir, just at present. At least I know who I was when I got up this morning. But I think I must have been changed several times since then. What do you mean by that? Said the caterpillar sternly. Explain yourself. I can't explain myself, I'm afraid, said Alice, because I'm not myself, you see? I don't see, said the caterpillar. The caterpillar didn't see Alice's struggle of knowing who she was and is, but we see it, we get it, because we experience it. We know all about identity theft. We know all about identity confusion. We know all about identifying ourselves with certain parties or factions or groups or causes. And we all want to know who we really are, and one of the things we're discovering all the time is that, well, knowing who you really are and having confidence in that identity and living out a life that's consistent with that identity is hard. The caterpillar didn't know what Alice was talking about, but we know it, we see it, we get it, we experience it. And so we, as a community of Christ here at St. Luke's, we are going to spend the next 6 weeks looking at our identity according to Paul's letter to the Galatians. Now, if you've been with us for a while, we just wrapped up a little study on the book of Titus, and I'll warn you that Galatians is longer than Titus. Titus was a page and a half. Galatians, you're going to have to turn the page. It's not much longer. It's a little bit longer. It's six chapters. I timed myself this week. It took me 17 minutes to read the whole book aloud straight through. So it takes, you know, maybe roughly 17 minutes. If it takes you 25, that's fine. If it takes you 15, good for you. But it takes roughly 17 and 25 minutes to read the book of Galatians aloud. And so if you want to read the whole book every single day for the next 6 weeks, you get a gold star. If you want to read 5-10 minutes a day, that's great. If you want to commit to reading just a chapter a day, you know, read a chapter a day for the 6 days leading up to our time of worship, and on the seventh day we'll gather together and dig in together. I think that would be a great way to be prepared to get the most out of God's word as it's proclaimed and shared in this place. So it's in the New Testament, 970-something. You can find it in the table of contents. But let's be in God's Word together in these days and weeks to come. And my hope is that each weekend after we worship, my hope is that you'd be able to walk out of worship and into the rest of your regular world being able to say, I am, and then fill in the blank from today's message according to God's revealed word with a greater sense of who you are in Christ and what that means for your life. So my hope is that you'll be able to walk out of here today and each of the next few weeks to say, I am, to fill in that blank and to know who you are in Christ. Today we're going to be focusing in on Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. And today, I've been praying about this all week, and I genuinely mean it. I hope that when you walk out of church today, you can say and know and believe and live a life according to these words, I am baptized. I am baptized. Now, I know that some of you might not be baptized, and that's okay. I love you. I'm glad we're here. Let's talk after church or call the office. Let's make an appointment and look at God's word together. And so whether you will be baptized in a week or two, that'd be cool. Let's do it. Or whether you were baptized 10 minutes ago, it's going to diaper change. Or whether it was last month, or whether it was 83 years ago, whether you've got video and 400 pictures of it like Maverick's going to have, or whether you've got a folded up piece of paper or no memory whatsoever, but your mama told you were baptized. God's heart and will is that all people would be able to say and know and believe and live a life according to these words, I am baptized. I am baptized. It's not just something that happened 30 plus years ago for some of us, but I am baptized. I think how we talk about marriage is, or how we talk about baptism is like how we talk about marriage. It'd be weird if I stood up here and said, you know, I was married 14 years ago. You know, my first wife used to, you know, that's her, just the one. She is my first wife. She's my current wife. We were married 14 years ago, but that's a weird way of talking about it. I don't say I was married 14 years ago. I say I am married. This thing that happened in the past, this one-time moment objectively happened, and from that moment, I've received a new identity that continues to define who I am. So I was married, but I am married. I was baptized, and I am baptized. And so what does that mean for us today? The goal is over the next few weeks, you're going to be digging into Galatians with me. But because you probably haven't been yet, let me give you a quick summary of this little book. Six chapters that Paul wrote. Here's how Galatians came about. Jan told me last night I talk too fast, so I'm trying to take a breath. She said it nicer than that, but her message got through. So Paul went to this region called Galatia, and there he preached, and he taught. And he told all the people who would listen about how God loves them perfectly in Jesus, and how on the cross Jesus died to forgive all their sins. And on the third day, God raised him to life that we would have life everlasting and peace with God and a new identity through Jesus. And Paul told them how this word, this message of what Christ has done, as that message is shared, as the gospel is delivered, God himself is active, creating faith, and that faith and that trust and that belief it holds on to, and it receives those promises of God. And the people there in Galatia, they got it, and they were rallied around that message, and they had that truth. And Paul said, okay, you guys keep it up. Keep meeting, keep praying, keep preaching, keep worshiping. You do your thing. I'm going to go get some other people involved in the action. And Paul left the people there in Galatia, and he went to go preach and teach elsewhere. Well, what happened then is that Paul got word that some other people came into that Galatian community after he left, and they messed with the message. And they started to change what Paul had taught. And they started to transform the gospel into something that was no longer good news. And they came in and they said, yeah, you know, what Paul said was mostly good. It's mostly true. God loves you and he sent Jesus. That's all good, except God also gave commands and you got to keep his commands. After all, they're God's commands. And God gave rules and they're God's rules, so you got to keep God's rules. And God gave various rituals for his people and they're rituals from God, and so you better keep God's rituals. And so if you don't keep God's commands, if you don't keep his rules, if you don't follow the rituals, then you're not part of us, you're out. And Paul got wind of this, and it lit a fire under him. So Paul writes 13 letters in the New Testament, 13. And in 12 of them, Paul basically starts like this. When he writes his letter to a people, he's really nice and happy. And in the old ancient world, you'd say who you were because they didn't have the email from. So they had to, if you want to see who it's from, that's the first thing you say. So in 12 of Paul's letters, he says this: Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, to the saints of God in Federal Way, grace and peace and mercy to you from our Lord Jesus. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers. So that's how Paul starts 12 of the letters. In Galatians, Paul says, you idiots. What is your problem? I am astonished at how quickly you're falling away. So Paul's got an edge here, and he's passionate because their identity in Christ is at stake. And so Paul writes to re-root them and ground them in who they are in Jesus. And Paul highlights and hammers over and over again that God saves and God gives life. And it's through Jesus. It's his cross, his resurrection alone that gives us our standing with God, period. And because of Jesus then because of this gospel message that Paul is delivering to the Galatians and God to us today, because of Jesus, because it's about God's work in Christ and not what we do or don't do, because of this message in Jesus, we don't have to keep track of all of our good things. You don't have to build a resume for God. You don't have to keep track of your good things. You don't have to keep score about how all the other people have wronged you and all the stupid things they've done. That's exhausting. You don't have to do that. Because of Jesus, we don't have to grade ourselves or others to see, you know, who's at the top of our spiritual class and who's failing and who's on the bubble and who's got the best spiritual pedigree and who does the most at church and who's got the right, you know, spiritual badges. No. No division. No rivalry, no ranking. It's just grace in Christ. Period. And so Paul writes in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, for in Christ Jesus, you are all sons and daughters of God through faith. No ranking, no ordering, no comparing. He brings us all together and speaks this beautiful identity to us. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons and daughters of God through faith. It's because of Jesus. It's through Jesus as the eternal Son of God that we are adopted as daughters and sons of the Most High King. It's not what you do. It's not what you don't do. It's God who speaks promises. And as those promises are declared into our lives, faith receives and trusts and believes that all of the things God promises find their fulfillment and their yes and their amen in Jesus. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons and daughters of God through faith. And the next verse, Paul continues. For in Christ Jesus, you're all sons and daughters of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Here, Paul is connecting our identity in Christ to baptism. Paul is connecting our faith in Christ to baptism. As you dig into Galatians this week, you're going to see at the beginning of chapter 3, that Paul spends like a paragraph talking about the Spirit of God. And in this paragraph at the beginning of chapter 3, Paul makes it very clear, I'm paraphrasing, but it's the Spirit of God who brings us into faith. It's the Spirit of God who connects us to Jesus. It's the Spirit of God who makes this relationship happen. It's the Spirit of God who sustains us on our journey of faith. It's the Spirit of God who will bring us to that last day of completion on our own resurrection through Christ Jesus. It's the Spirit of God from beginning to end. And here in Galatians 3:27, Paul goes one step further to say, the way in which the Spirit of God does his work and brings faith is through baptism. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons and daughters of God through faith. How? For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now, to put on is to be clothed in. This is not the verb like to put something on a shelf, but it's like to put on a shirt, to put on a tie, to put on a jacket. To put on is to be clothed in and covered on. And this is a normal way of talking in the Old Testament. We see throughout the Old Testament, people are clothed in something. And in the Old Testament, to be clothed in something, to have something put on you, to be clothed in something is to be really characterized by that thing. To be clothed in something is to be known by that thing. To be clothed in something is to be defined and to have your identity in that thing. And so in the Old Testament, we see God. God is clothed in majesty. God is clothed in glory. God is clothed in power. And what that means is that those are the things that characterize God, that define God, that help identify who this God is. The things that clothe him are true of him, and they give him his identity. And what Paul says in Galatians 3:27 is that we are clothed in Christ. In the same way that God is clothed in majesty and glory, and that's who he is, so Maverick is clothed in Christ. And that's who God has made him to be. That's what has characterized him now. To be clothed in Christ is to be characterized by Christ, to be known by Christ, to be defined by Christ, to have our identity in Christ because of what Christ has done, because of who Christ is. That identity is put upon you and gifted to you in baptism. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now, I was racking my head this week to try to come up with some contemporary metaphor or image for this. Because we have this Old Testament idea of being clothed in majesty and clothed in glory, but most of us didn't read a whole lot of the Old Testament this week, I'm assuming. No judgment. We love you. Safe place. I didn't. And so how do we make sense of this today? And this idea that we are clothed, and that being clothed in something gives us a greater identity beyond ourselves without necessarily changing who we are. And the closest thing I could come up with was putting on a jersey. And I've got a little video clip, so we'll dim the lights. Take a look.
Everybody get on that line. Hey. Again. Again. Herb. Come on, Craig, blow the whistle. Again.
Michael Ruzioni! Went through Massachusetts!
Who do you play for?
I play for United States of America.
That's all, gentlemen.
Now, there aren't many movies that make me cry every time. Field of Dreams, Miracle, Braveheart, maybe. The movie Miracle follows the 1980 U.S. men's Olympic hockey team and their journey there at Lake Placid. And I can't give you the whole plot. Come over today and we'll watch it. It's a great movie. But at this point in the movie, the players are all divided. And they're keeping score against each other. You know, they're holding on to old rivalries and bringing up, you said this and you did that. And they're fractured and they're broken and they're defining themselves by all these other things. They care more about the name on the back of the jersey than the crest on the front. But in this scene, Micah Ruzzioni, for the first time, has this epiphany that by pulling on that sweater, that's hockey talk for jersey, by putting on that sweater, by pulling on that jersey, he's receiving an identity that doesn't change his own, but it gives him more. When he pulls on that jersey, he keeps his same name. He's still Micah Ruzzioni. He's still from Winthrop, Massachusetts. He still has his own history. He's still himself. And yet he's been clothed in something greater. He's received a higher calling. And as he has put that on, he's been incorporated into something larger than himself. He's been connected to others in a way that's bigger than whatever their petty rivalries might be. And he's been given a calling, and he's been given a purpose. Now, it's just a sports analogy. You know, in our Christian walk of faith, you don't have to earn a spot on the team. You know, Jesus has earned it all. Jesus has earned the victory. And like a champion who's draped in your nation's flag, Jesus clothes you in his victory. He clothes you in his righteousness. He puts his own identity upon you. And so, to stick with my silly hockey metaphor, which speaks to maybe two of us in the room or three of us, that's okay. I don't mind. To stick with that metaphor, as you're trying to find out who you are in life and looking for your value, looking for your identity, whether you're up or down, whether you're puking on the blue line after a game you should have won, or whether you're stepping up onto the podium to receive your gold medal, see your baptism the way Micah Ruzzioni saw his jersey. Something that has been put onto you. Something that clothes you, that redefines you. That allows you to be you, but to be you as part of a much greater plan. To give you a greater identity. I am baptized. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.